as it pertains to this message Pastor asked me, I guess, a week and a half ago or something like that, and a lot of thoughts running through my mind, but I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help to you today, so this may be kind of different, not totally sure how it's all going to come out, but nevertheless, it's the Word of God, and it can help us, so it's profitable. Pastor said he wanted me to preach on this day, and I was like, not tonight, right, because that would be tough. A lot of people would be in the back, you know, checking the score and all of that. And I'd be talking about all this weird stuff, and they're like, yeah, all right. What are you talking about? So glad it wasn't tonight. Glad it was this morning. Have a few hours in between at least. I'm going for the Packers, by the way. So they're not my God, but I like Aaron Rodgers, so he's a good ball player. If you stand with me, if you're able to, for the reading of God's word, some of you are like, yeah, I'm not able. You're able. Come on. Let's go. He is able. He'll make you able, so get up. Proverbs 19, and I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. From this chapter, the Bible says in verse 2 of Proverbs 19, it says, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Let's read that one more time. It says, also that the soul be without knowledge is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Let's pray, Lord. Thank you for this day. The opportunity once again to preach to these folks, Lord, I really do thank you for them. Thank you for them being here today. And Lord, I just pray you would speak through me. God, I can't do this myself. I really can't. And God, I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me of my sins, Lord. And I don't want anything in my life to hinder or hold back what you're trying to do today. God, I need you to fill me with your spirit, Lord. I want you to control everything that I think, I say, I do. And Lord, I pray you would just focus me on the scripture, Lord. I know there's plenty of things that could be a distraction, things that happened earlier or things that may happen later today, but God, I need you to help me right now, right here, right now, Lord, and to get this message across and to focus my mind on this. And Lord, I pray you please help the folks in here today. I thank you for them once again, but I pray you please help them to listen, to pay attention, not because I'm speaking, but because you're speaking from your word. And God, I pray you please give us something. Lord, help us to be better Christians when we leave here today. I know we say that a lot, but Lord, I really want to see that be the case today. And Lord, I just pray you would help them to listen, and as they listen, I pray you would give each and every one something from your word, Lord, to be a blessing to their heart. Help them, Lord, just to live better for you. Thank you for all that you do. Bless this time once again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing up once again. In Proverbs, as many of you know, Solomon is teaching his son throughout the whole book, with the exception of two chapters. He writes the whole book, and he's teaching his son Rehoboam, which would succeed him as the king. And he's teaching him how to be a good man, and he's giving him all kinds of advice from many different areas of life. But to change gears a little bit, folks, it is a well-established fact for all of us that your life is the sum total of the decisions that you make. We know that to be true. And Solomon is, in this passage particularly, is teaching his son, and he's reiterating to him that even though Israel as a nation may have had God on their side, that did not exclude the people in that nation from making bad decisions. And there were many in that nation that made bad decisions. But Solomon, in this chapter and in these verses particularly, is focused on telling his son, son, it doesn't have to be like that. The Lord is on your side, and you have the word of God, and you have these things. It doesn't have to be like that. And he tells him in verses 2 and 3 this thought, the process of bad decisions. The process of bad decisions. Folks, you and I are also products of our decisions that we make. It doesn't matter how much talent you have or where you come from or how much money you have in your pocket or if you have the latest electronics or the nicest clothes or the nicest car out in the parking lot. That is really meaningless if you make bad decisions. And you know that to be true. It doesn't really matter where you or I come from. It's about the decisions that we make. That's what your life is all about. Bad decisions, bad life. Good decisions, good life. Very simple. And even though many in this room today, you're saved, even though many, or all of you in this room, you're in church today, many of you have a Bible laying on your lap this morning, that does not exclude you from making bad decisions, folks. And it's sad to say, but we've seen many, many people make many bad decisions in different areas of their life, and because of that, they filled their life with all kinds of heartache and pain that is not necessary. And folks, that does not have to be the case for the child of God. You do not have to suffer through all these things. You don't have to, you know, get burdened down by all these bad decisions you make. That does not have to be the case. But you're going to have to put in some work. It's not just going to be an automatic thing. Some preachers on the TV, they tell you, you know, Oh, if you just send this money to me, I guarantee you have no more problems in your life. That's a lie. That is not what the Bible teaches. And I don't know where they got it from, but they certainly did not get it from this book. But folks, it does not have to be the case for the child of God in this room today. You don't have to fill your life with all these bad decisions. You don't have to ruin your life. You don't have to mess up your life. And even if you maybe have made some bad ones in the past, you can change that around today. And I want to teach you and talk to you about this thought today. The process of bad decisions. There's a process you go through. It's not an overnight thing. There's a process you go through. I would like you to see, first of all, in this passage, chapter 19, verse 2, I'd like you to see, first of all, this thought. Number one, ignorance in an area. This person that it talks of, he has ignorance in an area. Verse 2, the beginning of it, it says, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. It's not good not to have the knowledge that God wants you to have in a given situation. This person has ignorance in an area. They're devoid of the knowledge that they need. They're empty. They don't know what they need to know. And that may be the case for some of us in this room. We don't know what we need to from the Word of God to make those good decisions. Therefore, we make bad ones. But there's not only those that are devoid of that knowledge, but some of you folks, listen to me, you've just disregarded it. You've heard it, but you didn't care. And in my mind, that's definitely something I don't want to do, and none of us should want to do that. You've been given knowledge. You've been given wisdom. You've been given the instruction. Now it's time, your turn to take that knowledge and put it into use in your life and make good decisions. But he has ignorance in an area. He's devoid of the knowledge, or maybe he's disregarded it. And he does, listen, it doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this in your life or in my life. Because God will give us directions if you seek him for them. Folks, listen, you say, what are you talking about, Tom? I'm talking about the decisions you make every single day. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking about colleges. I'm talking about work. I'm talking about how you treat people. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your wife. I'm talking about your husband. I'm talking about your children. What kind of decisions are you making? Are they the ones that the Lord wants you to make? A lot of us sitting here, we don't know what we're supposed to do. And folks, if that's you, that's okay. That's okay, because I don't want to throw it on you. You should know this by now. Bunch of idiots, get out of this room. I don't want to speak. It's not an it like that. All right? Some of us, we don't know, and that's okay. But for some of you, you've been giving it to you week after week after week, and you just say, I don't care. That's your fault. That's not a good choice on your behalf. If I would give you advice today, I'd say start taking some of the knowledge and the wisdom that you get from this book every single week, week in and week out. Don't just let it fly in one ear out the other over top of your head. Get a hold of that thing and use it in your life. Bless God, I want to have a good life. I want you folks to have a good life. And that is possible, but you got to make the right decisions. Nobody else can do that for you. This person has ignorance in an area. It says also that the soul be without knowledge. It's not good. Folks, it's not good to be devoid of the knowledge that you need. It's not necessary. It doesn't have to happen. God will give you the directions that you need. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I thank God for those verses in the Word of God. Listen, a lot of times I need direction. I need guidance. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I say, God, what am I supposed to do here? Folks, you say, how do you do that? You spend time. You talk to the Lord. You say, God, I don't know. You spend time reading and what he says. You try to learn it. And you stay there and you stay there and you stay there and you beg for it. You say, God, I need this. And finally, God comes through and he says, you do this. And I thank God he does that in my life. I'm glad I don't have to go around in the dark, stumbling around, messing my life up. You don't have to do that either. It's our choice. You don't have to be ignorant in whatever area of your life. He says, trust the Lord, and he shall direct your path. In Psalm 119, David says, order my steps in thy word, O Lord. Order my steps in thy word. God, I'm reporting for duty. Show me what I'm supposed to do. That's the way it should be. When we show up to the Word of God every day, when we open it up to do our devotion, say, God, what do you want me to do? Show me, show me, show me, show me. That's the way it should be. When you come to church, God, show me what I need to do. God, I had this decision on my mind. I don't know what to do. God, show me what I need to do. Folks, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's in the Bible. He cares for you. He doesn't want you to ruin your life. Teenager, he doesn't want you to ruin your life. Adult, he doesn't want you to make that bad decision. God cares for you. I don't know why he does. He doesn't have to, but he does. He cares for each and every one of us. Now it's time we take that and take the instruction that he's given to us and put it into use in our lives. Because I see Christians left and right making all kinds of dumb decisions, and I think it doesn't have to be like that. And it doesn't have to be like that. Oh, I'll start jamming in a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Doesn't have to be like that. No, I'm just kidding. But... Listen, you don't have to be like this person. You don't have to be ignorant in those areas. You can ask the Lord what you want him to do. Listen, first of all, I'm going to go through this more in detail later, but first of all, you need to acknowledge him. Real simply, you know what that means? Check with him. Check with him. Check with him. Find out what he wants you to do. Folks, before your decisions, you need to check with the Lord. Lord, should I do this? Should I do this? Or should I not? And once you get the answer from him, then you go for it. You ask him. Folks, a lot of times we think, you know, we get this Catholic mindset that we have to come up to God and God. And we do need to worship the Lord, and there needs to be a humility in us. But nevertheless, folks, ask God your questions. He cares for you. You don't have to be able to.
Now, Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, 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 Elohim, Jehovah, El Shaddai, Adonai. Come on, you know.
You don't have to do all that. Just ask God what you need to know. Sometimes we get dumb with God, and God just says, shut up, tell me what you need. I really believe that. We try to pray these fancy prayers. Listen, God knows a lot more than us anyway. He's probably saying, you misused that word, and your grammar's off, and all that. Just forget all that, and ask him what you need to know. And get the answer that he has for you. Folks, wait for an answer. Wait for an answer. That's what we're coming up on the second point here. A lot of people, they have ignorance in an area. They don't know what they're supposed to do. You sit in here today, you say, Tom, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this relationship. I don't know what I'm supposed to do as a young person. I don't know how I'm supposed to approach this situation. I don't know. I have ignorance in this area. I don't know what I need to know. The second step in the process of bad decisions is not only ignorance in an area, but the second part of verse 2 is number 2. They take immediate action. That's a problem. Not only do they have ignorance in the area, they don't know left or right, good or bad. They don't know what they're supposed to do. But they just say, hey, I got to do something. They just jump in. You don't do that, folks. You don't do that. Verse 2, the first part of it, also that the soul be without knowledge is not good. They have ignorance in an area. But secondly, it says, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. You know what that's saying? If you hurry off and do something, you're sinning. You're messing up. That's what we do a lot of times. God, should I jump or not? Well, I jumped. You just kind of have to bless me. And then, oh, God, why'd you let that happen? No. Stop. You never asked God. You never waited for him to answer you. A lot of us, that's what we do. We don't know what we're supposed to do. And because we don't know, we just, well, you know what? I've waited long enough. I'm just going to go. There's plenty of examples of people in the Bible that did not work out very well. And I don't want to do that in my life. I don't want to do that in my life either. I think about in the book of Joshua. Joshua was the great leader after Moses, and he was the great general that, conquered the land of Canaan and conquered all these cities and all these different things. He was a great leader. But there are two times, at least that I know of, in the book of Joshua, that before they went out to battle, you know what he forgot to do? To talk to the Lord. To talk to the Lord. He would go against Jericho, and he would talk to the Lord. He would go against this nation, he would talk to the Lord. He would go against that nation, he would talk to the Lord. And God would give him directions on what he needed to do. And then he'd take those directions and go fight the battle, and God would give them a great victory. But two times, one against Ai, and then a couple chapters later against the Gibeonites. Joshua, I don't know if he thought he got it figured out or he just forgot. I don't know what happened, but he forgot to talk to the Lord. And those are the two major downfalls or defeats of his life. I mean, he forgot to talk to the Lord, and he sends these guys out to spy out this little country Ai. And they go over there, and they say, man, that's nothing. We don't even have to send all the boys over there to fight this battle. Just send part of them. I forget the exact number. Just send part of the army over there. We'll be fine. And Joshua says, yeah, that's fine. Forgets to talk to the Lord. Goes up there, and they get their head handed to him. Off a little nation. Listen, let me tell you something. Christian that's been in this church for a while, you think you've arrived, you think you've got it down now. Let me tell you something. The devil can take you down pretty quick. Don't you think you got it figured out? Because none of us do. If you do, you're God, and I'm pretty sure nobody in here is God, okay? We don't got it figured out, but man, we start strutting around. I know all this, and I know. Who cares? How about you start living it? How about you start getting a heart for other people that don't know what you know? Instead of you walking around with your nose up in the air, and we see your boogers. We don't want to do that, all right? Blow your nose, put your head down, lift the Lord. Listen, but these people, they have ignorance in an area, but they take immediate action. I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to jump in. Not a smart idea. I think of Joshua, those occurrences. I also think of David. Think of David. When he brought the ark back, he didn't find out, Brother Chad, the instructions how to bring the ark back. Let's just bring it. If the ark needs to be here, let's just go do it. And because of that, the guy, Uzzah, got killed. And then David got mad. David, don't get mad. Get mad at yourself. Folks, a lot of times, and I'm going to hit on this later, but a lot of times something bad happens to us because of our own bad decisions. Then what do we do? God, no. Your fault. My fault. But we want to blame everybody else. Well, if you wouldn't have looked at me like that, I wouldn't have thought that, and then I wouldn't have, no. It's not their fault or God's fault. It's your fault and my fault. That's the way it should be. They take immediate action. They have ignorance in the area. Again, this is the process of bad decisions. How does this happen? Well, they don't know what to do. Ignorance in an area. After that, they take immediate action. Take immediate action. They really don't know what to do, but they rush off and they do what they think is best. Let me tell you, folks, left up to yourself, in and of yourself, you always make the wrong decision. Or you'll make a lot of wrong decisions in your life, bad decisions. I don't want to do that. It's not necessary. All right? So number one, we have an ignorance in an area. The soul is without knowledge. That's not good. Number two, they take immediate action. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. He just jumps in. But then the third thing in this process of bad decisions is the iniquity will lead you astray. Beginning of verse 3, it says this, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. And I believe this is connected back to verse 2. He's saying the soul is without knowledge. He doesn't know what to do. But he just jumps in and does it anyway. Folks, we all have a sinful nature inside of all of us. And you know, if we disregard what God has to say, you know what's going to control us? That. And it's going to lead you astray, and you're going to make a bad decision because of it. This is what happens, folks. This is how we make bad decisions in our life. This is how we make messes of the situations that we have in our life. This is how it happens. We don't know what to do. We don't ask God, or we ask God, but we don't wait for him to answer. We jump in, we do something. Because of our own sinful desires, we do the wrong thing. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. We've all done it. We've all done it. But folks, you say, why are you saying this, Tom? So you can, you know, bring up old news? No, I'm saying so we don't have to keep making these things. Folks, like I heard a preacher talk about Eutychus, the guy that fell out the window in Acts chapter 20. You know, Eutychus too, if he fell out the window, you know. All right, that guy. Listen, I remember the guy preaching, he's saying, you know, Eutychus fell out the window and died, and then Paul revived him back to life. Next time Eutychus sat in church, I'm pretty sure he didn't sit in that window again. But that's what we do a lot of times. That's exactly what we do a lot of times. We're sitting there. Ah! Bang! Oh, my life's messed up. God fixed me. Wonderful. Let's go sit back in the window. It's a good spot. Gives me a good perspective. I can see every. Oh, shut up. Get out of the window. A lot of us do that. They take immediate action. Our iniquity leads us astray. Listen, if left up to our own desires, we're always going to make the wrong decision. Listen, we have a sinful nature, and that sinful nature is strong. Listen to me, folks. I don't know if you realize this, and I think some of us that have been saved a while, we kind of get past this. But we never get past this is we think,
oh, I could never do something like that.
Do you realize that as Christians, we are capable of doing any sin there is? Really? Yes, really.
Folks, you maybe need to turn your phones off. That's two times. Next time I'm coming, take it. No, I'm not going to do that.
Throw it in the baptistry.
Yeah, there you go.
Then we'll call you. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, boy. I'm just kidding. Listen, their iniquity leads them astray. Anything's possible for you. Anything. Listen, you can do any sin, even as a Christian. All of those sins still lie in our heart. We have a wicked heart, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know how wicked your heart is. You don't know how bad your life could become. You don't know. I don't know. It's scary. It's scary stuff. You know what that means for us? We always stay on guard. We always pay attention. As I was preaching last week to the fellas, you be sober, you be vigilant, you be on guard. Don't ever think you get to the point, well, I got this stuff. That's exactly when you will fall. Pride cometh before a fall. The iniquity will lead you astray. Got a sin nature is very strong. Listen, and that's the natural thing to do. Your sinful nature is the one you're inclined naturally to follow. It takes work. It's kind of the default, okay? As soon as you wake up in the morning, you know what's in control? The flesh, sinful nature. You have to put forth effort to turn that, kind of put that away, not turn it off. You wish you could. But put that away and get the spirit in control. You have to do that every day. If you don't, if you just lay down, nah, that's fine. That will stay in control. Who's in control of your life? What's ruling your desires? Is it the Spirit of the Lord showing you need to do this? You need to read your Bible today. You need to pray. You need to give out that tract. You need to treat people right. You need to love these folks. Is that what's in control, or is it all about you? Selfish. Man, I'm just in for what I can get. I don't care about other people. It's all about me. That's a pretty good indicator that the flesh is in control. There's many more we could talk about. But folks, listen, what's in control of your life? The process of bad decisions. How does it happen? Ignorance in an area, you don't know what to do. But you take immediate action. You just jump in. You think it'll all work out. But instead of that, your iniquity leads you astray. And listen, it'll always send you down the wrong path. Every single time. Every single time it will. Now, the last thing in this process of bad decisions is this number four. The end of verse 3. And it says, I'll read all of verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. And then the rest of it says, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. His heart fretteth against the Lord. So this is the process. You ready? He's ignorant in an area. Doesn't know. Doesn't know what he needs to do. Takes immediate action. Jumps in. His iniquity leads him astray because he's naturally sinful. Because that's in control of his life, he's going to make the wrong decision. And then what does the rest of the verse say? His heart frets against the Lord. You know what I call that? He makes an idiotic attack. Makes an idiotic attack. Again, God, should I do this? God doesn't give us an answer yet, but, well, I waited long enough. God, why you? Shh. It's not God's fault. But that's what we do, isn't it? The end of verse 3, our heart frets against the Lord. God, why'd you let that happen? I can't believe that thing blew up in my face. God, I can't believe I lost all that money. God, why did you? Folks, it's not God's fault. And I'm not being harsh today, but it's not God's fault. Listen, he gave you what you needed to know in that book. And a lot of times we're too lazy to pick it up and read it and find out what we need to do. And then we make the wrong decision and we get hurt. Our life gets ruined and then we say, God, it's not God's fault. We make an idiotic attack. Our heart frets against the Lord. Yeah, you see a kid fretting. You know when kids cry? I always found that funny. It's going to be hard when I'm a parent because I'm going to be laughing at the kid. Don't do that. Get your breath there, kid. Come on. Need some oxygen? Hurry up. Let's go. Heart frets against the Lord. Sound like a dog or something, you know? Chasing your tail. But that's what we do. That's what we do. We suffer the consequences of it. Whatever that bad decision is, we suffer the consequences of it. And those consequences hurt, folks. The pleasures of sin are for a season, but when that season's over, the consequences show up, and the consequences stink. So before you make that decision, young person, I'm going to do this. I don't care what anybody thinks. You better find out what he thinks. Because I guarantee you it's not going to be as much fun as you thought. And you're going to get down there in the pit one day and say, what did I do? A lot of us point our finger at God. No, you put your finger down. If I was God, I'd just snap it off right there, you know. You don't point your finger at me? Oh! Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Again, good thing I'm not the Lord. Be like, praise the Lord. Bless God, you know. They make an idiotic attack. They suffer the consequences of it. And folks, listen, just because you're a Christian, you make a bad decision, doesn't mean you get out, you know, no consequences. Mm-mm. You make a bad decision, you're going to have to suffer the consequences of that. Now, thank God, thank the Lord that when Jesus died on the cross, he took away the penalty of sin. We don't have to suffer eternally for that. Thank God for that. But there are some shame and some scars and some suffering you got to go through here on earth. We're not immune to those things. I drink poison. I'm fine. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. She thought that was funny. It's over now. Jenny, you can stop. It's okay. Just kidding. They make an idiotic attack. They suffer the consequences of it. And then they start to complain against God. God, it's your fault. Their heart frets against the Lord. How could you let this happen? I know you're all powerful. How could you let this happen to me? God didn't do it to you. God loves you, and he wants the best for you. But however, you got to put in some work, folks. You got to put in some work. Listen, you know why God lets those things happen? Because we don't have special rules as a Christian. And once you've been in the church, you don't get a special privilege, you know.
You have the gold, platinum, whatever else. You know, they got all these different things. I don't know how high this is going to get. You have the uranium car or whatever, you know. Oh, wow. I got this status now.
Listen, once you've been in church 10, 15, 20 years, you don't get a new status, and now you can sin and get away with it. Doesn't happen. Listen, God's rules apply to all men. You can't step out like the guy hanging in the window. You can't just fall out the window and expect God to hover you out in the air, you know? Like the Wile E. Coyote. Man, I'm stealing this guy's sermon. Like the Wile E. Coyote, he's out there, and he doesn't fall until he looks down, right? Listen, that doesn't work as a Christian. You step off the ledge, you're going to fall. And you're going to get hurt. God doesn't have special rules. God doesn't have special rules for the top people in the youth group.
Oh, well, that's a good kid. He's a good boy. She's a good girl. So they can sin, and it's no big deal. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Folks, if I make a bad decision, I suffer the consequences of it. You make a bad decision, you suffer the consequences. That's how it works. That's how it works. And God is fair in everything that he does.
And we find ourselves, they suffer the consequences of it. They start to complain, and they find themselves in a stupid condition. Listen, it doesn't have to be like this. Listen to me, folks. The process we just went through, it doesn't have to be like that for any one of us in here. If you just, this is your first time here, you've been here for years, it doesn't have to be like this. You don't have to be ignorant in the area. You don't have to take immediate action. You don't have to, you know, have an iniquity that will lead you astray and then make an idiotic attack and say, God, how could you let this happen? Number five, that's the process. I'm going to give you the flip side of that, the good thing. What should we follow? Okay, that's the incorrect process. The incorrect approach. What should I do then? You tell me what I should. What should I do here? If you turn back to Proverbs 3, I believe, hold on, just pause for a minute. Verses 2 and 3 of chapter 19, I believe that is the exact opposite of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I really do. So let's turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I know we've heard these verses since, you know, junior classes or whatever, but these verses we need to put into our lives. You want to make good decisions? It's right here. I believe it's right here. Well, what is the right process? What's the right thing that I should have to guide my decisions, to make good decisions, the right way to make decisions in my life? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Heard these verses, but let's pay attention to them. Verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's break this apart a little bit. First thing I see, and some of these are my opinions. I'll tell you when they're my opinions. First thing is this. You have to have a settled position. I believe that's what it says when it says, trust the Lord with all that heart. This is kind of my own opinion here. But I believe this is kind of before the problem starts. You make up your mind. You have a settled position. You say, no matter what God says, I'm going to trust what he says. That's a good step to take, folks. You want to make good decisions? Make up your mind. Whatever God says, I'm going to do it. Whatever God says, I'm going to do it. Make that settled. Have that position settled in your life. Doesn't matter what he says, I'm going to do it. What that means is trust the Lord. It means to rely, depend on him. Listen, you may need to make up your mind before the problem starts. That you know what? Whatever God says, he's right. He's right, and I'm going to trust him. That's what I believe that's saying. Trust him. Listen, you know our problem? We get to this point, we hear a message about this or whatever the case, and we said, Lord, I'm going to trust you as long as I agree with it. That's what we do. Lord, I'm going to trust you as long as I like what you say. Lord, I'm gonna trust you as long as, you know, I don't have a problem with it. That's not going to work, folks. Because most of the time, God tells us stuff that in our human mind, we think, what in the world? But it works out. But if you sit back and think, God, you want me to do this?
Nah, I don't like that. I don't want that, God.
Oh, you want God to make you the leader and everybody looking at you and giving you the applause, but you don't want to clean the toilets or pick up the trash or work on a bus. You don't want to do that. See, that's our problem. We only want certain things from God, and then when he tells us to do something,
no.
I mean, God, I'll, if you say you can save me from hell, man, I'll take that. Give me some of that. You know, you're in the buffet. Give me some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
You go to the next one. Okay, now you need to surrender your life.
Whoa, no. I'm cutting out. I'm cutting down on that.
No, that's not the way it works. This isn't a buffet, okay? This isn't, you know, Burger King. You have it your own way. No, you don't. You have it God's way. Listen, if you want your own way, you can go back to chapter 19 and that's where you'll be.
You'll be stuck in a situation, messed up, and then you think, God, before you, when you start thinking that, why don't you think back to this message and say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, he said it wasn't God's fault. It was my fault. You know what it is? This is not a buffet, folks. Listen, if you want, you can live the Christian life two ways, God's way or yours. If you want to live it God's way, unbelievable. So you got to have a subtle position. I know it's hot in here, folks. I'm sweating up here too, so it's okay. We're almost done here. There's a settled position. Listen, before you face the problem, why don't you make up in your mind, I don't care what God says, if I like it or if I don't, if I want it or if I don't, if I agree with it or if I don't, I'm going to listen to what he says and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Listen, you can trace back in any person's life in this room that's living for God, any person in our church, any person you know of that's a Christian that's done something for the Lord. I guarantee you there's some point in their life where God told them to do something and they had to surrender themselves, make a decision, and say, God, I'm trusting you. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. That's what it's all about. God tells Abraham, get all your stuff and move. Okay, God, no problem. Where do you want me to move to? I'll tell you later. God, let me just get this straight. You want me to move my family, all my possessions? Abraham was a very rich guy. Everything he has, all his servants, all his animals, everything, and move. And he doesn't know where he's going to end up? That's exactly what Abraham did. And he is the greatest example of faith in the Bible. Folks, listen, sometimes God's going to say stuff to you and you think, really? And believe me, it's easy for when I'm up here preaching, Brother Chad, to say, you just follow it. It's not so easy to follow it when it's you doing it. You get up there and you think, really, God?
I mean, when you're in front of everybody, absolutely, I'd say yes.
You know, when you get in that situation, sometimes it's tough, though. But folks, if you want to have God's blessings on your life, you better follow what he says. I mean, we talk to teenagers. God will save you. Oh, I like that. But you got to stay, after you get saved, you want to surrender to the Lord and get serious about this, you need to stay away from some of them girls.
Oh, no, man. See, I'm a player. And see, I don't work with me.
Yeah, you're going to play yourself right into some mess if you keep going after it.
Well, I know God says do this, and I like that, but God says I got to give up my music. You serious?
Yes, God's serious. Surrender my life? Be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Some adults are about to have a heart attack when we say that. You need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oh, wow, I just thought you said Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I did. And you go all over again. And if you're really fanatical, be here Thursday. It's okay. We got a defibrillator in the back, you know. We'll fix you up, man.
Whatever. That's probably the wrong thing. Probably like electrocute him.
You didn't need that. You killed him. My bad. A little well done, I see. Listen, folks. There needs to be a settled position in your life. Listen, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm going to trust him, whatever he says to me, and that's tough sometimes, but I'm going to trust him, whatever he says. I'm going to have a settled position in my life. I'm not going to move off of that. I'm going to center my life on this. Listen, trust in the Lord, that's a command. Hey, you're facing something tough, trust in the Lord. Hard time on your job, trust in the Lord. Marriage getting a little rocky, trust in the Lord. Things are going rough in my life, you trust in the Lord. Don't you back off now. Listen, if he saved your soul from hell, I'm pretty sure he can work your life out here on earth too. Pretty sure he has enough power to do that. And he knows what he's doing, and he knows why he's putting you through everything you're going through. You trust him. Don't you turn back now, jump ship. You're going to drown once you get out of that ship. You stay in there. You have a settled position in your life. Listen, you center your life on this. And it says trusting with all your heart, completely. Completely, trusting. I got to keep moving. You have a settled position in your life. Next thing, it says lean not to thine own understanding. You know what that's saying? Stay away from your own perspective on things. When you start thinking, well, I think. One of my friends hates this statement. Well, I just feel. Every time he hears that, he wants to slap people. So I just stay away from it. Well, I feel. It's like Bubba Thursday night, man. He slipped on ice. Sorry, Bubba, I got to call you out. He slipped on ice, man, and I was about to help him, but Bubba was swinging his arm, and I'm like, if I went over there, I was going to get slapped and fall too. So, hey, better one than both of us, you know. Bubba's over here. And I'm like, you all right, buddy? You need help? Okay. Woo! Listen, folks, listen. It's not, listen, the Christian life is not about what you feel or what you like or what you think, about what he likes, what he thinks. Why do we get this idea in our mind, the Christian life? Christian life. You know what that means? Follower of Christ. But a lot of times we don't follow him. Jesus says, go there. We're like, yeah, right. And we call ourselves Christian. If you're going to name the name of a Christian, why don't you follow Christ? You got to have a settled position in your life. You got to stay away from your own perspective. Listen, don't trust yourself. Don't trust your thoughts. At the end of the book of Proverbs, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You watch all these Disney movies and, you know, trust your heart. No, you're a fool if you trust your heart. I don't care what Tinkerbell says, okay? Listen, when you trust your heart and then you get your life ruined, she's not going to have a little pixie dust. Oh, it's all better now. Thank you. Doesn't work like that. I've tried it. Doesn't work like that. Tinker, I need you. Nothing, you know? Nothing. You stay away from your own perspective. If you trust your own heart, you're a fool. Follow your heart to hell. No. Follow your heart to ruin your life. Follow God. Stay away from your own perspective. Number three, you need to seek him at every point. Again, this is kind of my opinion on these things. But you have a settled position. That's what I mean. That's what I think trust in the Lord means. Trust in the Lord. You have a settled position. Whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm trusting him with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. My own perspective, I'm not going to go after that. But I need, in my life, I need to seek him at every point. Listen, the next thing it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know what I think that means? Seek him at every point of that process. Terry, I'm going to scare you to death. Could you come up here and sit on the front row, please? Terry, Porter. I like Terry. Terry's my guy. He's going to sit up here. He's going to help me with this illustration. You have no clue what I'm about to do, but it's going to work. Okay? Just sit there. You know what acknowledge means? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Okay? If I want God to direct my life, every step of this process, I got to trust God. Now, I've already made up my mind. Whatever God says at the beginning of this, I'm settled in it. I'm going to do what he says. I've made that position. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. It's kind of like this. Every step I take, if Terry tells me to go for it, I'm going to take the step. If he tells me no, I'm going to stay where I am. If he tells me to go back, I'm going to go back. That's what it is. Every step. You know what acknowledge means? I want to check with him. Now, you're going to represent God. You are moving up in the world, buddy. But this is how it should be in our lives. Every decision I make. Terry, should I step? Should I step this one? Wow, this thing. Should I step now? Okay. What do you want? You tell me. You give me directions. Forward, back, stay. To the right. Both feet, or one. I want to check with him. I want to check with him before I do anything. Because a lot of us, you know what we do? Why'd you let that happen? No, I didn't check with him. I didn't check with him. So if he wants me to hear, okay, go ahead. Where? Forward. This one too. I'm checking with him. You see, every step I take, I want to check with him first. Now what? Jump. I knew I shouldn't have got Terry to do this. No, I'm just kidding. All right, I'm waiting too long. You're telling me what to do. I need to follow. Now what do I do? This one. Three steps. One, two. And what is that? Mother, may I? This is what I feel like I'm doing. Terry, may I? Yes, you may. Now what do I do? Don't think anything crazy. How many steps? One, two, three. Stop here. That's what it should be. Thanks, Terry. You can stay there. We're almost done. Folks, that's what it should be. I acknowledge him. You know what that's saying? Before I take any step in my life, God, should I do this? No? Okay, I'm staying here. But, I think I should go for it. I check with him. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. A lot of us, we just do what we want to do. We ruin our lives, and then we complain to God about it. That's not too smart, any way you shake it. But if I check with him, I trust in the Lord. Before I even start this process, I say, whatever you say, I'm agreeing with it. I'm not going to say, are you sure? No, I don't believe that. No. I've already said I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to what I think. Well, I think just coming Sunday morning is fine. Is that what God thinks? Well, I acknowledge every step I take. I acknowledge him. I check with him. Should I do this? Yes. Okay. Should I do this? No. Stay here. Okay. This feels weird, but okay. Take a step now. Okay. And I don't need to know every reason why I didn't take a step here and why I didn't go this way and why I didn't turn around and jump around and why I didn't do all that. I don't understand. I don't need to understand. I just need to trust God. Folks, if we were, I know this is a dumb illustration, but if we would do this with our lives, we'd be a lot better Christians. We just go and we do whatever we want, and then, you know, all this bad stuff starts happening, and then we think, God, why didn't you help me? Because you didn't ask him. Or you asked him, and then you didn't give him a shot. Terry, you want me to go? And I don't even give him a chance to answer. I got to hurry up. Last thing, all right? You have a settled position in your life. Whatever God says, I'm going to do it. You stay away from your own perspective. You seek him at every point. Should I do it now? I check with him. I find out what he wants me to do every step of my life. Every step of my life. God, are you sure about this? Yes. Okay. God, you sure this is what you want me to do? Yes. I'll do it. God, you want me to go here? Yes. Do it. God, you want me to do this? Yes. God, you want me to do this? No. All right. I stay here. That's the way it works. And then the last thing is this. This is good stuff, folks. The last thing of verse 6, it says, and he shall direct thy path. That's a sure promise right there. That's a sure promise right there. Hello? That's a sure promise right there. You say, what is that promise, Tom? That's the promise that if you will do these steps in your life, God will direct your life. That's a good thing. I don't want to go out in this world all by myself. I don't want to go out there with what I think I know or what I think I can do, because I'm going to ruin my life. But God knows everything. He can do anything. And if he tells me, take this step, I can bank my life. Step on it. I can do what he says. I can do what he says. Listen, God will never point you in the direction that he won't give you the power to go there. God will never tell you, do this and then just leave you alone. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. He gave me the power to do what he wants me to do. That's a sure promise. Listen, it says he, that's talking about God, shall, that's a guarantee. So God guarantees that he'll direct your path. That's guidance. That's not bad right there. Listen, teenagers, who do you want directing your life? 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg, I don't listen to all, well, whoever. Some people, if I don't name the exact artist they listen to and the exact song, then they don't think I hit on what they're sending it. If it's not talking about God and it doesn't have the right beat and all that, it's garbage. Who are you going to listen to direct your life? Girls, who are you listening to direct your life? Well, all my friends think, blah, blah. You want your friends directing your life? Really? Really? Well, they said on Facebook, who cares? Why don't you get off Facebook and get your face in this book? I stole that, by the way.
I stole that.
I was guilty. Listen, God shall direct your path. That's good stuff. You want God to direct your path? There you go, right there. You got to have a settled position. I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own perspective. I'm going to stay away from that. Every step I take in this process, I'm going to check with him. God, you want me to do this? Yes. God, you want me to do this? No, stay away. And then as he leads me and as he guides me, then I follow him. And then the last part, you get a sure promise that he shall direct your path. That's how you make good decisions, by the way. If you want to make bad decisions, don't know what to do, jump in, both feet into it. Your sin leads you astray, and then you complain to God. God, why'd you? No. But if you want to make good decisions right there, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you trust the Lord with all your heart. Hey, folks, whatever he says, you trust it. What I just don't agree with that, uh-uh. We're talking God. We're not talking pastor and people. We're not talking, you know, me and the people. We're talking about God and you. You listen to what he says. And if he says it, you do it. You trust him. You say, God, you're right in whatever you say. Listen, if not for him, you would not be alive right now. I'm pretty sure you can trust him to follow his directions, don't you? You trust the Lord with all your heart. You lean not to your own understanding. You say, what I think, uh-uh. Every step of the process, you check with him before you make the decision, by the way. A lot of us make the decisions and then say, God bless it. No, you check with God before you make the decision, and then he says, I'll bless it, then you go for it. And the last thing, he says, he shall direct your path. That's a sure promise. You can bank your life on that. That's what I want to do, and I hope that's what you want to do as well. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word.